Good afternoon. This is Akashvani, and I'm Shagun Chopra with the midday news. The headlines. Prime Minister Narendra Modi achieves historic milestone by becoming the longest serving head of an elected government in the country. G7 nations condemn Iran's attacks on civilians and key infrastructure across multiple countries in West Asia. Call for ensuring safety of critical maritime routes, particularly the Strait of Hormuz. Vessel carrying crude oil from Russia reaches Mangaluru in Karnataka. Another cargo ship with LPG from the US docks at Mangalore port. Bihar celebrates its foundation day today. President, Vice President and Prime Minister extend greetings to the people. In squash, Wee Chotrani to be up against Abhay Singh in men's singles final at Indian Open 2026 in Mumbai. In women's singles final, Anahat Singh to take on Hannah Mutaz of Egypt this evening. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has achieved a historic milestone in Indian politics by becoming the longest serving head of an elected government in the country. With this, Mr. Modi has surpassed Pawan Kumar Chamling, who held office as Chief Minister of Sikkim for 8,930 days. He has now completed 8,931 days as head of government, combining his tenure as Chief Minister of Gujarat and as Prime Minister, thereby entering his 25th year in a leadership role. The milestone is being seen as rare and significant achievement, reflecting decades of uninterrupted public service and political leadership at the highest level. Over the course of his career, Mr. Modi has set several notable records, including being the longest-serving Chief Minister of Gujarat and the Prime Minister with the longest prior experience as a CM. A report.
Prime Minister Modi has crossed several other significant benchmarks this year, particularly in the digital domain. Earlier this month, he reached 30 million subscribers on his YouTube channel, strengthening his position as one of the most followed global leaders on the platform. With this, he currently leads among both serving and former heads of government in terms of subscriber base, remaining well ahead of other prominent international political figures. In February, Mr. Modi also crossed 100 million followers on Instagram, becoming the first serving world leader and politician to achieve the milestone on the platform. Since joining Instagram in 2014, his presence has steadily grown into one of the most active and widely followed accounts among global leaders. This reflects a sustained outreach strategy aimed at engaging audiences both within India and internationally. He is currently at 101 million followers on the social media platform. On X, Prime Minister Modi has 106.4 million followers. Suparna Saiya, Akashvani News, Delhi.
In a social media post, Union Home Minister Amit Shah described the achievement as a milestone rooted in service, hard work and unwavering commitment. He said that Mr. Modi's long tenure reflects a deep dedication to nation-first governance, integrity in action and tireless service to every citizen. The group of seven G7 nations have strongly condemned Iran's attacks on civilians and key infrastructure across multiple countries in West Asia. In a joint statement, G7 foreign ministers representing Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, UK and US, along with High Representative of European Union, voiced solidarity with countries affected by de-escalation. The statement said the group extends support to its partners in the region in the face of unjustifiable attacks by Iran and its proxies. The G7 nations warned that Iran's actions not only endanger the targeted countries, but also pose a broader threat to regional and global security, urging Tehran to immediately halt its military activities. The group also stressed the importance of ensuring the safety of critical maritime routes and global supply chains, particularly in the strategically vital Strait of Hormuz. G7 foreign ministers said they stand ready to take necessary measures to support the global supply of energy. Iran has launched ballistic missiles targeting the Israeli town of Dimona, home to the Negev Nuclear Research Center, as well as the nearby city of Arad, describing the strikes as a direct response to yesterday's attack on its Natanz nuclear enrichment facility. The International Atomic Energy Agency says the research center was not damaged and that no abnormal radiation levels have been detected. However, the impact on the ground has been significant, with more than 130 people reported injured across southern Israel, including in Dimona and Arad. Israel's air defenses engaged the incoming missiles but failed to stop direct hits on both towns. The IDF has acknowledged the interception failure and says an investigation is underway. Israeli officials say the campaign against Iran will intensify significantly in the days ahead. More from our correspondent.
The crisis is now widening well beyond the Israel-Iran front line. From Washington, United States President Donald Trump has issued a 48-hour ultimatum, warning that he will hit and obliterate Iran's power plants, beginning with the largest, if the Strait of Hormuz is not fully open and without threat. Iran's military command fired back, warning that any strike on its energy infrastructure would trigger attacks on all energy, information technology and desalination infrastructure belonging to the United States and the regime in the region. In Saudi Arabia, three ballistic missiles were detected over Riyadh. One was intercepted, the other two came down in uninhabited areas. Riyadh then declared Iran's military attaché and embassy staff as persona non grata, ordering them out of the kingdom within 24 hours, citing Iranian violations of the 2023 Beijing Agreement, United Nations Security Council Resolution 2817 and attacks on diplomatic premise on Saudi soil. The situation in Lebanon has escalated into a full-scale regional war following the collapse of the 2024 ceasefire. The Lebanese Ministry of Health reports that the death toll has surpassed 1,024 people since the current flare-up began on March 2nd, with over 1 million residents, nearly 20% of the population, now internally displaced. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashwani News from Dubai.
Hezbollah says it has also launched fresh rocket attacks on Israeli troop positions in the north as Israel presses ahead with ground operations in southern Lebanon. U.S. President Donald Trump has threatened to hit and obliterate Iran's power plants if Tehran does not reopen the Strait of Hormuz within 48 hours. Trump issued the ultimatum on Truth Social this morning. In another post, Trump said that Iran wants to make a deal, but he does not, arguing that he has already achieved his objectives weeks ahead of schedule. Iran's representative to the International Maritime Organization has asserted that the Strait of Hormuz is only closed to Iran's enemies. Ali Mousavi, who is also Iran's envoy to the UK, further pointed to regional tensions as the primary cause of the current maritime friction, noting that the ongoing conflict involving the US and Israel was at the root of the current situation in the Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. Mousavi emphasized that while transit remains possible, international obligations must be balanced with respect for Iran's territorial integrity and rights. Aqua Titan, a vessel carrying Russian crude oil, has reached Mangaluru in Karnataka. This comes after the US issued a temporary general license on Thursday, allowing the sale of Russian crude oil already stranded at sea in an effort to stabilize global fuel prices amid West Asia conflict. Another cargo ship carrying liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, from the US has arrived at the Mangalore port. Pixie's Pioneer cargo ship carrying LPG from the US state of Texas successfully docked at the port. Earlier, an Indian-flagged LPG tanker, Nanda Devi, arrived at Vadinar port in Gujarat, becoming the second LPG carrier to reach the West Coast this week after Shivalik docked at Mundra port. This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. Bihar is celebrating its 114th Foundation Day today. On this day in 1912, Bihar was carved out of Bengal and granted the status of a separate state. A three-day state-level ceremony is being organized at Gandhi Maidan in Patna to mark Bihar Divas. On the occasion, President Draupadi Murmu, Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan and Prime Minister Narendra Modi have extended greetings to the people of Bihar living in the country and abroad. Election Commission has directed the chief electoral officers of poll-bound states and UTs to ensure that each polling station is equipped with assured minimum facilities and voter assistance on poll day. The commission said that facilities should include drinking water, waiting area with shade, adequate lighting, a ramp of proper gradient for PWD electors, a standard voting compartment and proper signage. EC also instructed to display four uniform and standardized voter facilitation posters at all polling stations. The deadline for filing nominations for Keralam Assembly elections will end tomorrow. The scrutiny of nomination papers will take place the day after tomorrow. Polling will be held on April 9 and the counting of votes will take place on May 4. Meanwhile, election campaigning has intensified across the state. Candidates are actively meeting voters in person. Campaigns are progressing under the leadership of senior leaders from all political parties. Andhra Pradesh government has sanctioned around 60 crore rupees to establish 5 compressed biogas CBG plants in urban local bodies, aiming to improve waste management and generate clean energy. The decision was issued through a government order by the Municipal Administration and Urban Development Department. New plants will be set up in Rajmahindravaram, Nellore, Guntur and Ongole, while an existing facility in Vijayawada will be revived and upgraded. The commander of the terrorist group Lashkar-e-Taiba, Bilal Arif Sarafi, was stabbed and shot dead by his family members after the Eid prayers in Pakistan yesterday. The incident reportedly took place near the destroyed Lashkar-e-Taiba headquarters near Markaz in Muridke. The exact reason behind the murder is not known yet, but intelligence sources suspect a family dispute. According to reports, Bilal was responsible for the recruitment in the terror wing's Muridke center by identifying young men to propagate their agenda. His job was reportedly to brainwash the people by providing them with ideological training. Voters in Slovenia head to the polls today in a highly contested parliamentary election in which incumbent Prime Minister Robert Golob will face off against pro-Donald Trump candidate Janez Janša. The election will determine the composition of the National Assembly, which determines the government of Slovenia. Under Golob, Slovenia was one of the few European countries to recognize an independent Palestinian state and last year imposed an arms embargo on Israel amid its Gaza bombing campaign. The India Meteorological Department, IMD, has forecast thunderstorms accompanied with lightning and gusty winds over sub-Himalayan West Bengal and Sikkim till tomorrow. Similar conditions are expected over coastal Andhra Pradesh, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Odisha, Madhya Maharashtra, Marathwada tomorrow. The weather agency further predicted hot and humid weather conditions at isolated places over Konkan and Goa during the next 2 to 3 days. On to sports now. In squash, India is assured of the men's singles title at the Indian Open 2026 after Abhay Singh and Vi Chotrani advanced to the final with impressive victories in their respective semi-finals. Vi Chotrani will be up against Abhay Singh in an all-India final clash in Mumbai today. Vi defeated Malaysia's Sanjay Jiva 3-1 to book his place in the final. On the other hand, Abhay Singh stormed into the final, beating Malaysia's Amirnesh Raj Chandran 3-1 in the semi-final last evening. Meanwhile, top seed and defending champion Anahat Singh will take on second seed Hana Motaz of Egypt in the women's singles final of Indian Open tournament in Mumbai this evening. The Board of Control for Cricket in India, BCCI, announced the schedule for senior Indian men's team tour of Ireland for a two-match T20 international series in June this year. The men in blue will play the first T20I on 26th of June in Belfast, followed by the second and last T20I on 20th of June at the same venue. Team India have toured Ireland 3 times in the past 8 years. This tour will mark India's return to Belfast for the first time since 2007. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi achieves historic milestone by becoming the longest serving head of an elected government in the country. G7 nations condemn Iran's attacks on civilians and key infrastructure across multiple countries in West Asia. Call for ensuring safety of critical maritime routes, particularly the Strait of Hormuz. Vessel carrying crude oil from Russia reaches Mangaluru in Karnataka. Another cargo ship with LPG from the US docks at Mangalore port. Bihar celebrates its foundation day today. President, Vice President and Prime Minister extend greetings to the people. In squash, Vi Chotrani to be up against Abhay Singh in men's singles final at Indian Open 2026 in Mumbai. In women's singles final, Anahat Singh to take on Hana Motaz of Egypt this evening. And with that, we end the midday news.